Greetings, and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, pastor, director of the Catholic community. It is the 14th Sunday of Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle C.
Enough of you raised your hand that you're only here for the summer or are new here that I ought to introduce myself. I'm Father Nathan Castle. I'm the pastor, the director of the Catholic community here. I'll be starting my seventh year here. And new to everybody here, I think, is Father Xavier Lavigetto, who spent his first night in our new house last night. He's coming here from San Francisco, and before long will be officially on the staff. He's on sabbatical right now, just checking things out. So, how about you welcome him? It happens to be a new moment. We're Dominicans, and we've had a Dominican community in Menlo Park since 1995. But two new guys are joining us. We're beginning to staff St. Raymond's Parish in Menlo Park. So now instead of being four, we're six. Three of those six are new and three of us are holdover. So we're just getting to know each other. And every time we try to do anything, we say, where are the paper clips? Anybody seen the scissors? Try to cook or yeah, everything's in a box. So we're right in the middle of that business of figuring out how to make this place home, which I think is really at the heart of the gospel today. I think Jesus wants you to have the whole universe as your home and to feel like you belong anywhere you ever go. So for those of you that are only here for a while, this might be exactly your feast day. This might be exactly the message. Don't worry about things being unfamiliar and out of place or not knowing people, because if you stick with me, you're going to learn how to do this over and over throughout your life and be radically free. I was raised in a home with two brothers and two sisters, two parents, and usually two dogs, one inside and one out. We had a great home. My parents built it when I was four. Solid, so was their marriage. We had a really great life. But all the while, the message was, we're raising you so that you can fly away. We're gonna set you loose on the world. The contract that they had with us, they had not gone to college. We were gonna be the first generation to do that. The deal was we were gonna get a four-year education of our own choosing, a car, and one tank of gas. You kind of get the message, don't you? That tank of gas is to take you as far as a tank of gas will go, and then you have to buy the next one. We also heard it regularly, don't bring us another generation of kids to raise. You make your bed, you lie in it. We want you to come back to visit, but not to stay. So it was quite clear that there was this really solid, loving home, but it was always intended to be outgrown. There was a nest, but it was supposed to be flown from. Have any of you been parents who had to deal with a child taking driver's ed and getting ready for being legal on the highway? For some parents, that just strikes terror. They want to prolong it as long as they can and can't bear to think of their son or daughter being out there behind the wheel. On the other hand, there are parents like mine who couldn't wait to not have to drop us off at after school anything, who just wanted us to be able to drive our younger brothers and sisters and get out of some of that duty of all that, you know, carpool stuff. I remember coming home from getting the paper permit. I no sooner got back and walked in and said, I got my license, than Mom said, here's the shopping list. Go to the store. It wasn't long after that that I wasn't only going to the store, but our little Catholic high school, which had no transportation of its own, we couldn't afford a bus. Anytime we wanted to go anywhere, we had to figure out the transportation. Somebody had to drive. Well, we were invited to be a part of an academic decathlon for all the Catholic schools in the state of Texas, which is a big state. Lots of things are far from other things. And Dallas was an 8-hour drive away. I went to my parents and said, "May I borrow the car?" It was before SUVs, it was station wagons in the 70s that you had if you had to pile a lot of kids into it. Could I have the station wagon and could I take 5 other kids to Dallas for this competition? You know what they said? "Sure. Here are the keys." No conversation, no injunctions about, you know, not speeding or drinking or anything like that. They just said, "Sure." I didn't talk to any of the other kids' parents. I don't know what they said, but they all came. And I drove 8 hours away, one way, almost got in a wreck on a freeway in Dallas when somebody cut me off going about 70. It wouldn't have been my fault, but I thought here was the occasion where it could have been bad, but it wasn't. The only thing bad was our performance in the academic decathlon. We stunk. Nevertheless, I remember that now, geez, 35 years later, something like that, because they just gave me the keys and trusted that I would know how to do whatever needed to be done. I think that's what the Lord of all creation thinks of us, very much like that, sees what we're capable of, knows that we're up to the task even when we don't think we might be, and invites us along. Last week, though, somebody began to feel that excitement. "Yes, I want to be a part of what you're doing," and said, "Where are you going? Where do you live? We want to come with you." And then started to kind of hedge their bets. One said, "Well, let me bury my father first. In other words, let me gain my inheritance after my dad dies, and then I'll have the kind of financial means to take the risk of following you." That was the way one of them put it. Another one said, "Let me go back and say goodbye to all my people." And Jesus said, "No, once you put your hand to the plow, if you're going to turn back, then I don't need you." This is a radical invitation to come and follow me. Today, he sends us out in pairs. I think because the Holy Spirit really is most manifest. You can experience the Holy Spirit in the privacy of your room, or you can experience the presence of the Holy Spirit between you and another person, especially when you're united in a joint effort that you know has a godly purpose. That's when the Spirit really comes alive. The Spirit's relational. Well, he's sending us out in pairs and then gives us a few instructions about being at home on the road. He says, first of all, "I'm going to be right behind you. You're just going to go ahead of me, but I'm going to be right behind you. I'm giving you a partner so that you're not all alone. And I'm also giving you my blessing. I want you to go to the towns that I'll send you to and then use your judgment. Go to a place and first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if there's a peaceable person in that house, your peace will flow to them and it will flow back to you and you'll know that you're in the right place. If you say, 'Peace upon you,' and they're not a peaceable person, your blessing will come back to you and you go on to the next place. But don't be too fussy. And oh, by the way, don't necessarily go to town and look for, I don't know, the most posh zip code, the gated community, the place where you'll probably have the nicest guest room and the best food. And don't shop around once you get there and upgrade yourself to a nicer table. Go wherever you're given hospitality and eat what's put before you." I learned this week that, well, the rest of the world learned at the same time I did. I don't have a secret pipeline to the Vatican. That 2 popes are going to be made saints. Did you hear that news? We have 2 popes already right now. And two of the ones that have been Pope in my lifetime are going to be saints. John the 23rd and John Paul II. Both of them led the church and were in control of this mission. They both did it in very different ways from one another. John the 23rd they couldn't elect anybody in 1958. They were too divided, so they finally settled upon this 78-year-old man who was sort of like a cookie jar. And a nice smiling guy, harmless enough that everybody could kind of agree, let's choose him. He won't be around too long anyway. He even said as much when he got elected. But before long, he said, let's throw open the windows of this place and let some air in. Let's have a council, invite everybody from all over the world, all the bishops from all over the world to come and talk about what we ought to be doing. What do you think? Well, there were plenty of people in the Vatican who didn't like that idea one bit. And they got busy organizing the conversation so that they can control it. And then the Spirit brought all these bishops together. We just studied it the whole of the winter of the spring quarter. We had a class in the curriculum in religious studies. And we learned all about how the Spirit moved through that council. Karl Wojtyła, John Paul II, was there and part of that conversation. He was also at work later standing up to communism in his own country and leading the church to try to re-examine itself. He did it a lot by going back to tradition, at the same time saying, we need to be unafraid to let out into the deep. He called for a new evangelization. But much of his methodology was by kind of coming back to the center and reorganizing or re-emphasizing core ideas. So you've got two different popes, both about to be made saints. One who's just kind of throwing caution to the wind, and the other one's cautious. Both of them giving their gifts to the church. Then you get an encyclical this week that's just come out, The Light of Faith, written by two popes, Benedict and Francis. It's a really interesting time to be a Catholic, trying to see where we might be headed next. Nevertheless, Jesus deals with this impulse to move the whole universe into a new understanding of what it can be. He tries to point us beyond security and safety. He even says, I don't have a nest. I don't have a hole to live in. But there's room in me for you to live, if you want to live in me. And if there's room in you, I'd love to live in you. We're told that we're only told a little bit about what happens when those 72 begin to go out two by two. But in part, you and I are here, and we're receivers of this faith because somebody went out. Somebody, maybe in our ancestral line, was there to tell somebody the good news that we ended up receiving. Or maybe you don't need to think of it that way. Maybe there's somebody in your own personal story. You wouldn't be here, you wouldn't be a Christian, you wouldn't be a Catholic, had this person not done the thing they did. And maybe they put themselves out and took a risk. Our gifts, whatever they are, if you put 72 people together, you're going to have a lot of variety, a lot of different gifts, just like you do on this campus. And if we're doing whatever it is we do with a heart full of love and trust that I'm capable, that yes, I can do this, and I'm not alone, contribute something to the world that's really important and powerful. I might not have to feel like I need to go back into my comfort zone. I might be able to do something that is not like what I've done before, that's not said. I might be able to lead some sort of a breakthrough in my life. I think that's what Jesus is inviting us to. We won't be able to do that, though, if we're not secure. We do need to know that we're safe. That's why I think there was so much language about a roof over your head and about food to eat and about someone to be with. Those things are really important. But what he does say is, I'm going to show you a way of life where you really can learn not to be just a member of a tribe or a member of a political party, a certain persuasion, an ism. I can teach you to be a citizen of the world, in fact, of the universe. He might have put it this way: I can teach you to be Catholic, universal. I can teach you to be home everywhere you ever go. There's a book that I absolutely love. I think it's just so profound. I want to be able to quote correctly because the prose is so brilliant. Yeah, what are you laughing about? It's my book. That's what she's laughing about. I wrote a book on The Wizard of Oz, and it has home is a very important theme in The Wizard of Oz. The central character, Dorothy, all she ever wants to do is to get home. Well, that means after she got away from home, because she had the front part, all she wants to do is run away. But very soon she learns that she's not at home, and she wants to be at home. But in order to get back home, she has to learn to do all kind of courageous, out-of-the-box things. She learns to love people very different from herself. She takes on tasks that she would never thought she could possibly do. And then she finds herself back home. She wakes up in her own bed saying, "There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home." I heard a feminist critique of it by a young woman who said, "You see, this is the message young women get all the time. Stay home and do nothing. You know, don't venture out. Don't take risks." I thought, well, geez, I know that story, and I don't think that's what it said to me at all. I'm not a young woman, but I don't think that that's the message that I heard. I think what I heard is more like this. When Dorothy says, "I'm not going to leave here ever, ever again," what do you suppose happens next? Does she live the rest of her life in that farmhouse? Who knows? Maybe she does. But if she does, it won't be because of fear. She's forever changed by all that's happened to her in her life in Oz. I think she'll fly away again when it's time to, and fly back from time to time to visit those she loves. Or maybe I just think that because that's what I've done. My family gave me wings, and I'm still using them. I believe in just a few minutes we're going to ask the Holy Spirit, "Would you come upon these gifts, and would you make them become you? Would you be in our food? Would you be in our drink? Would you come down our throat? Would you live in our bodies? Would you run through our bloodstream? And when we leave here, would you go everywhere we go? And will you let us not just go to some safe harbor where we know we'll never be challenged and where we can do what we've always done, but would you make us be people who are so at home in the world that there's no place that we could be that would be not home?" That's when we'll really be able to say there's no place like home, because every place is home. And when we're that free, there's just no holding us back. The will to be set afire in all kind of different ways. And I think that's exactly what the Lord was inviting us to in the first place.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Producer, Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP, Director Gary Glover, Associate Director Michael Rector, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.